I was searching, my heart and searching the spirit, because there's a scripture I came across where the Bible says that the Spirit of God searches the heart of God. I cannot know what is in your heart unless I have your spirit. You cannot know what is in someone else's mind unless you have the spirit. But it is possible for me to know what is in the mind of another person if I bear a spirit that has the ability to be inside that person's spirit. This is scripture. Why am I saying this? The Bible says that the Spirit of God is a revealer of secrets. Secret things belong to God. But it's possible for a man to know those secret things through the Spirit of God. But that's not what we're going to. I said that to say that there are so many things that are in the mind of God that until we as a church, until we as individuals and members of the body of Christ, until we desire to know what is in the mind of God, we will never even be able to come into the knowledge and the true plan of God for our own lives and for the lives of other people. God desires that we receive His Spirit and allow the Spirit to help us to know what is in His mind concerning a particular situation, and you can be able to communicate His mind to a people. That was what Moses was always doing. Moses was always searching the mind of God. Searching the mind of God. When he gets it, he now comes and reveals it. That was how he was able to build the tabernacle the level of detail was so amazing that I had to ask. Like, God went to the detail of how the width of the size of this thing, the width, how high should it be? How wide should it be? How long should this be? So I'm now asking, the God that was describing things to the point of giving numbers, 30 cubits high, make it like this, make it like this. Is this still the God that we serve? Is this still that same God of so much detail, that's so much interested in the littlest thing that you will not think that is important, to the point of even the cloth, telling them the color of the cloth, use blue, use this material, use cotton, use turquoise, use this type of stone, use this type of wood to build my temple. I mean, I this is just based on my personal study. I was studying the book of Leviticus and Exodus and now Numbers, and I'm just like, wow. But that's not the topic. Where we are focusing on today came this morning while I was praying. It just popped up. And the topic is God of order. The God of order, or the God of orderliness. It's just surprising, honestly, because I just opened the Bible, the reading for today, my Bible plan. And today was Numbers 4, Numbers 5, Numbers 6. I read Numbers 4. And I was just stunned. I did not even know that, okay, I will be the one. And I was just stunned that, look at how God was just describing so much. He was saying so much things about, do this, do this. He was telling them, this is how you should build this thing. When you want to carry this thing, carry it like this. When you want to arrange it, turn it like this. Don't allow this people to carry this. Let this one be the one to carry it. This one should not carry this thing. If this one carry this thing, this person will be killed. If any other person from any other place come and touch this thing, this will be only these people are permitted to touch this thing. And I was just like, I'm not asking. That same God, what is the relevance of all of those things he was saying? Does it still apply in 2026? Does it still apply to the church today? What does that look like? And I got to understand, God is the God of order. I want to look at and want to know, why is that important to us today? Because we are living in a time where everybody is just becoming so careless with God. And you wonder why things are not working like the way it was working for our fathers of old. You see that God is the God of protocol. There is a protocol of worship. There is a means and order to which you enter into God's presence. The Bible says, I will enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. In where? My heart. And that is not all. That is the gate. Now there's gates. There's also courts. I will not enter his courts with what? Praise. That is the protocol to enter God's presence. So you wonder why some people, why we are singing hymns. You see, people don't understand. They think it's just order of service. Some people just think things are just, you just, that's why it's good to seek understanding. Why is it that when you want to start service, why is it that when you want to pray, you sing song? Some people just, if you ask a basic believer, maybe you just say it's because that's how you pray now. That's how prayer is meant to be. Why is prayer meant to be like that? Why do you start with praise? And who says you cannot just want to start praying and just going too straight to the point? Do you know that you can actually just start prayer by just going straight to the point? Imagine you are under attack right now. Armed robbers have surrounded. They want to kill you. We start saying, thank you, Jesus, for all you have done. Be thou glorified. Lord, thank you for all you have done. Thank you for the gift of... You see, Lord, help me. Help me, help me. Are you not already praying? But you see, some people, they don't understand the protocol. I'm saying that there is an order of worship. You are not the one to define how you worship God. God is the one that will tell you how you worship him. That's what the Israelites were trying to do in the wilderness. That's why many of them were wiped out. In fact, none of them that left Egypt, was able to enter the promised land because of this issue of them trying to define how they worship God. They wanted to worship God at their own comfort. How I want it is how I want it. Me, oh, this is how I hate to worship God. I hate to do like this. I hate to do like this. Leave it. This is how me I want to worship my God. But there is a protocol of worship. Say, those that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. There is a protocol. And many people are trying to jump steps. They are trying to worship God their own way. How do you not expect to get the results that the fathers were getting back then? There is a protocol of worship. The Bible made it clear in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. So we're going to look, trust God, we're going to look into, I'm just going to look at the case study in Numbers 4. But before that, let's just establish a fact. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. I read. It said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. For God is not the author but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33. What does that mean? God, see, some people don't understand this thing till now. When people read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and all those things, they now read New Testament, you will now be like, God is confusing. God is not order. God is not... It's not straightforward. People will be saying things are not straight. God is not the one that creates confusion. It is us not willing to submit to what he has said that will create confusion for ourselves. There is a way to worship God. That's what I'm saying. There is a manner and way to worship God. Now I've established that fact. Now we'll go back to Numbers chapter 4, which is the case study. Numbers 4 verse 49. Now we'll see something. This is just a case study on what led to this. Numbers 4 verse 39. You see, one of the ways to study scripture is when you are reading the scripture, have a question in your mind. Some people just read scripture, you don't have questions. Ask questions. Jesus Christ always welcome when the disciples are asking questions. The more you ask questions, the more you can know certain things. When you are reading the scripture, you are asking questions. Don't just read and just be taking everything. Just read. You just state it. Ask questions. Why did God say, let Judah go first? Why did God say, let the Levites be the one? Why did God say, every firstborn should be his own? Why was he doing this? Why did he say we should use this type of cloth? Or you ask questions. Why did he say they should not shave their hair? They should not trim their hair? Why did he say they should not put tattoo on their body? Why did he say all of those things? You need to be inquisitive. That's why the Bible gave reference to the Berean Christians. When Paul was preaching, every time Paul was telling them something, they did not just take what Paul said. They went back to go and study and search on their own. Ask questions and study. Be a Berean Christian. Someone that don't just hear word. from pulpit, then now take it. Go and study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. I said that, so that is just by the way. So Numbers 4, verse 49, first, we'll just look at something there. Now, let me read them, KJV. So it said, according to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, everyone according to his service and according to his burden. They were numbered of him as the Lord commanded Moses. I think if you read through, I think if you look at Leviticus and Numbers, you see there's a word that's always repeated there. As the Lord commanded Moses. They said the people did as the Lord commanded Moses. Every time, almost all the verses, as the Lord commanded Moses. Which means that all those things that Moses was saying was God telling him clearly the things he should do. Clearly, exactly the things. That's why I started with, there is something in the mind of God concerning his church, concerning the people. And if you don't search with the Spirit, what is in your mind? Like Moses making inquiry. If you hear every time Moses say, I'm going to the mountain, I want to go and make inquiry from God. You spend days, then come back with a list of instructions. Do not do this, do not do that, do not do this. Because people, they could not hear God for themselves. But now God has given us the ability to hear him for himself. Everybody has the liberty to hear God for himself. Everybody, no exception. So long as you are born again, you can hear God for yourself. And you have the Spirit of God in you. It is important that we do this so that we don't fall into error. People just hear God once. After that time, they leave it and start running with their own understanding. Oh, because it's logical. I think, let's just say, because maybe that's how it works in your business or you work in your office. You now come here and now think, oh, it's the same thing. And so when I need to do in my workplace, they need to do like this. The owner need to do like this and this. You'll not be using the mentality of the world to run systems in the house of God. I don't know where that is done. The Spirit of God is the one that should lead. Now, let's look at what made this Numbers 4 very interesting. I'm just going to read quickly the duties of some of them. From Numbers 4, verse 29. So, in context, let me just give you some context. So, this Numbers, we read from Numbers chapter 1 to chapter 4. You see, Numbers is all about numbering the Israelites. So, after God wanted to tell them to leave, they have built, I'm giving context now, they have built the tabernacle already, right? But the tabernacle is something that is movable. It's something they can always carry anywhere they are going. So, they spent 1 year at the Mount Sinai, where God gave them instructions. After God gave them instructions, after they built the tabernacle and all those things, now God said, okay, guys, it's time to leave. Let's continue the journey. Now, before they left, God told them, Moses, count the people according to their tribes. So they did a census on each of the tribe and all of them. Now, when he reached the Leviticus, the Levites, that's the priest, the family of priests, he told them, don't count them first. I will count them myself. God said, I'll count them myself. And so now, when he now counted all of them, he now told them how they should arrange themselves. You see how, why I'm saying, I'm just listening carefully, because I'm trying to show you how orderly God is. Sometimes you just think we can do things anyhow. God is very, very structured. Anytime you see somebody building system and thinking structurally, just know that person understands God to an extent. God loves structure so much. He doesn't like chaos. Doesn't like things just doing randomly. He doesn't do this one. He has made things already in order. So when he was arranging the people in the camp, he told them that the tabernacle will be at the center. He told them, these are the tribes that will be on the left. These are the tribes that will be on the right. These are the tribes that will be here and in the front. He told them the order. He said, whenever you guys want to leave a place, let Judah be the first tribe to pack up. So Judah will pack up their materials, all their tents, close everything, and start moving first. Every time they want to leave a place, Judah must be the first. And guess what? Do you know the meaning of Judah? Judah means praise. That's why the Bible, there's one portion that said, let Judah go first. Judah means praise. That's why he said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. You see, that is kind of prophetic, right? So I'm saying that there is an order. Judah is always the first. Then God now also said, the second tribe to move is this tribe, I forgot the name of tribe, second tribe, third tribe, fourth tribe, like that, all down to the 12. He listed everything out. Go and read the book of Numbers 1, 2, 3. You see how he listed, he took his time to number all of them, told them how they should move. Now you now go to the Levites. Now was a special case because now this one was very, very sensitive. He told them, no, you count those ones. Me, I'll count this one myself. Because those ones were the ones dealing with the holies of the holies. You are not allowed to just come in here and be doing things when you enter God's presence. Because any small thing, you can just die. He warned Moses very well. Now, let's look at what he said there. Now, as for the sons of Merari, you shall number them by their families and by their father's house. From 30 years old and above, even to 50 years, you shall number them. Everyone who entered the service to do the work of the tabernacle of meetings. And this is what they must carry as all their service for the tabernacle of meeting. Listen carefully. This is the tribe of Merari is talking about. He told them, God specifically told each tribe what they are to do. Remember I said that they are always carrying the tabernacle all around. The tabernacle now represents God's presence. So he said that these people are the ones that will be the one in charge of carrying these particular things. Now see the things he said they'll be carrying. They'll be carrying the boards of the tabernacle, the bars, the pillars, and the sockets. And the pillars around the courts with their sockets, the pegs and cords with all their furnishing and all their service. And you shall assign to each man by name the items he must carry. Can you see how, see the extreme level of details God went into? He said, each person in the tribe of Merari, you are going to assign them what each person must carry. Just imagine all of us were like 100 here. Each person has his. What am I saying? What does this thing tell you? It tells you that there is no task in God's house that is irrelevant. There is nothing that is irrelevant. You see, the way the world is, the way the system of the world is now is, Bible says, don't conform to the pattern of the world. You know, it makes you feel as if doing one particular thing in church is not as relevant or important as doing another thing. It makes you feel as if that thing you are doing is not as important than compared to the person that is preaching or the person that is praying or the person that is doing this one. Everything mattered, and no person was permitted to go and do something else that is not called to do. See, he said, each man, he said, and you shall assign to each man by name. That means if your name is John, tell John his name, John Smith. John Smith is the one that will carry this bell. That is his job. Carry the item he must carry. This is the service of the families of the son of Merari, as all their service for the tabernacle of meeting under the authority of Itamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. You see the order. There is somebody even in charge of that whole tribe that will be this thing. What does that sound like? I don't know. See, we have to understand that whenever God is speaking, he's speaking. If you notice the trend of things this year, you see that, let's be very, very practical. Whenever God speaks, God is speaking clearly. I don't know if you are seeing the pattern. I don't know if you are studying what is going on. There's a system that God is trying to set up. And if you are not careful and you go and scatter what God is trying to build. See, let me show you the repercussion of some things there. Let's continue reading. Verse 34. And Aaron, Moses, and the leader of the congregation numbered the son of the Kohanites by their families and by their father's house from 30 years old and above to 50. Everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting. And those who were numbered by their families were 2,700. They were the ones who were numbered of the families, all who might serve in the tabernacle of the meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the law by the hand of Moses. And those who were numbered of the sons of Jeshurun by their families and by their father's house from 30 years old and above, even to 50. Now, I just want to skip there a little bit. So if you continue reading down, these were just the numberings of everything. I'm trying to just show you something here that the way God took, I was always asking myself, why is God taking time to just mention all these things? It's not important. Guess what? It is extremely important. God loves taking audits of his people. It's called like spiritual stock taking. How many people do you have? Who are the people in this place? Who are the people that are doing this? Who are the people that are doing this? God loves order, not randomness. You see this randomness thing, random doing of things. Eventually, it can cause problems. For God to take his time, like the God of Jehovah, is it as if, is it that he don't have time to do any other thing than to come and be counting, you know, and telling them, oh, this person I see down in front of here, you are the one to do this one. This one, you are going to do this one. This one, I'm going to do this one. This one, I'm going to do this one. He spent the whole, how many books? He spent the whole book of Leviticus. He spent the whole book of Numbers to be talking about all these things. A whole book of the Bible to talk about these things. And somebody will now come. A believer will come and say, this thing does not matter. It doesn't matter. Your God spent time doing these things. So let's look at Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose. It's still on orderliness. There is time for everything. There is time. See, even punctuality is even another thing. God has to help us. So. Everything, there is a season. There is a season for this particular thing. Give time for everything. Don't see one thing as more important or irrelevant. For example, maybe there's a way you can be balanced. You can be emphasizing much on one thing more than it should. Or maybe this is the time to emphasize on this particular thing. We are now emphasizing on one other thing and just emphasizing on one thing too much. There's going to be imbalance. The beauty will not be like, maybe, for example, yeah, we're only spending time on praying. There's going to be imbalance. Or you're only spending time on preaching the word of God and there's little prayer. There's going to be imbalance. There is time to every purpose. There needs to be a time when people pray. There needs to be a time where people, it's time to hear the word. There needs to be a time where people will go and talk to other people about the word of God. There is time where even, let's look at Genesis. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 31, that is a proof that God is the God of order. I'm saying that if your life is not in order, it's most likely because God is not in your life or God is not in control of your life. Your life has to be in order. What are you doing in this time? How do you spend your day? Are you just doing randomly? Do, anyhow, anywhere breeze go? People just do anyhow. No, there is time for everything. Look at the old book of creation when God was creating the world. Look at the way, if you look at the way God created it, he made everything systematically. First, let there be light. Because if there's no light, how will you be able to see? How will you be able to see? He separated it. When he now brought the light, he now separated the light from darkness. Everything was in order. Before he brought humans to earth, he made a system to ensure that when humans come into the place, they can dwell and they will survive. Ask yourself the question, if a new convert, if somebody, an unbeliever, comes to church and wants to give life to Christ, is there a system that can ensure that that person can stay? Do you want people to come? Have you created a system that will ensure that they can stay? You want God to come into your presence? Have we created a system that will house God's presence? Look at how when Moses wanted to build the tabernacle, that's another case. See, that's the one that really shocked me past. If you look at the description, you'll be shocked. That thing was more advanced than any architecture today. If you look at the details, I'm like, hey, to the cloth. He said, this is how you sew the cloth. You do it like this, stack it like this. He said, I have called this person by name. That brother, I've called him by name. And the other brother, he's the one that is going to, I put my spirit in him. I'm giving the wisdom, knowledge, understanding to build this thing according to my specification. And also that guy is going to help him. That is not all. He now said, those two people were Bezalel and Oholiab, if you read the scripture. He told Bezalel that I has given him the spirit of, I put my spirit in him, wisdom, knowledge, understanding to build this thing according to the specification in heaven. I am saying that for this church, there is a specification that God has created for how this thing is going to look like on earth. That's why I say there will be done on earth as it is what in heaven. There is a divine plan for every life in this church. Every single soul has a divine plan. It is your duty to ensure that what God has said concerning you in heaven, what there's a book that has been written concerning the church, concerning every member here. I'm not talking a book of life. There's a book that has been written. That's why the Bible says, even today I read itself. So, you see, can you see the way God is leading? all these things, like I was just reading it normally, I saw it today. I've come in the volume of the book written concerning me to do your will. There's a book. Even Jesus made that proclamation. Jesus knew his book. He read his book properly when he was praying. You know, when you pray, you are reading your book. When you read your book, you know what you are meant to do in the next 10 years. You know exactly where you are meant to go in the next 15. That's why Jesus was never surprised. Nothing shocked Jesus. When Judas betrayed him, he was not like, Judas, you betrayed me. He was like, do what you want to do, Oga. You already knew. Nothing surprising. Do you know that you can also know exactly where this place is going to be in the next 10 years? Exactly what it's meant to be. That's the same thing that God was trying to show Moses. Moses, before God could come, he told Moses, build a tabernacle so I can dwell there. This is the specification. Make sure you don't go as... That's why you have to call somebody that knows how to pay attention to details. He called that guy and that guy. Who knows? But those guys may not be very spiritual as Moses. But God put his spirit in him because he knew that guy knew his craft. And he told him he's the one that will craft this thing. And that's not all. He gave him also the ability to teach other people. He said, I've also given him the ability to teach others how to do this thing. Because he can't do it alone. So the grace was released upon him. I'm saying that God is a God of order. If you think you are the one that is meant to do everything, you are wrong. God has to help us. I don't know why this thing came. I was just surprised. This morning, around that 6:30. I was just doing the normal study. So, we need to be people. You have to be intentional. The way you plan your business, the way you plan the things of God, intentional. See, when you become intentional about the things of God, God will become intentional about your life. You will not have to be worrying about how things to go. You will not. This is practical. The day I started becoming intentional with God, like, I one client reached out to me that is working in UN. Like, I saw his picture, he has this with Peter Obi and all these people. He started working in all these places and he was talking. I now asked him, sir, please, I want to understand, why did you call me? Like, why? What made you come and find me? I don't understand. Because I was trying to trace how, why. And he has people that are better than me. Because I saw the things. He said he has a team. He has people that are way better. I'm like, why are you coming to me? He has people that is already employed, already down. So why are you coming to me? He said he doesn't know. I'm saying that if you become intentional with God in your work, intentional, like, not intentional, God will become intentional with you. See, these are some of the things that we need to understand. God is a God of order. Romans 13, verse 1.
Okay, wrapping up in the next few minutes, so we pray. Next 2 minutes. Romans 13, verse 1. So we read Romans 13, verse 1.
Let every soul be subject to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God, and the authority that exists. You see, this is one that people find it hard to believe. Some believers in Christ choose not to believe this thing. He said, and the authority that exists, listen carefully, authority that what exists are appointed by God. Okay. Wait, so that means, does that mean that Pharaoh was appointed by God? Does that mean that Nebuchadnezzar was appointed by God? Does that mean that Herod was appointed by God? He said, all the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Go and read all the translation you want to read. All the same thing. You know, sometimes you can think, all those authorities that are good are appointed by God. Even the bad one is appointed by God. See, the day you start accepting the Bible, the day you accept the scripture, the day you'll be free from certain things. Everyone must submit to governing authority, for all authority comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God. Do you know how hard it was for Miriam? Do you know Miriam was Moses' elder sister, and Aaron was Moses' elder brother? Do you know how much, what it took for them to just be taking everything Moses was saying? Moses was not a small boy. It's not Miriam that carried Moses when he was a baby, put him inside water, and took him this thing. All of a sudden, Moses is the one telling Miriam everything to do. Miriam, go and call this thing, telling Aaron, do this one. Because these people understand. The day Miriam spoke against Moses, Moses did not say anything. God came by himself. Are you okay? You are talking to... He struck her with leprosy 7 days. Moses had to beg, God, please. She did not know.